I have to say, when I first sat down to look at this in Psalm 51, it's a fairly straightforward psalm. It's a historical document, to be honest with you. And as I milled over that a little bit, I thought it just seems to be evident to all what's contained here. But the more I got to thinking about it, the more was revealed the central focus of our Christian faith. And I think it's very fitting that this Psalm 51, if you look in your Bible, is just about in the center of God's Word. As I thought about this, I thought about the words that we see over and over, repeated over and over in this Psalm. Words like wash, and cleanse, blot, and create and renew. And I started thinking about Billy Mays. Many of you remember Billy Mays. He died now. It's been almost 5 years ago. He was the Oxywash guy on TV. And remember, he had that bowl of dye there, that red dye, and he would put the Oxywash in and it would turn it clear. And as he swished it around, I thought about the removing of the stain, of which he claimed his OxyClean would do better than anything else, would remove the stain from your clothes. And I thought about how God's presence in our hearts, in the internal workings of a human being, are like that in removing the stain from our hearts. The OxyClean, like the Holy Spirit, was to clean the deep down stain, not the superficial things, which it did, but the deep down stain that was ground in and had become so much a part of the item. Over 3,000 years ago, a revolt took place. It happened in the spring on the rooftop of the palace in Jerusalem, where the king of Israel fought not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle against an ancient enemy. I'm talking about David and his adultery with Bathsheba. If you know anything about the story, David was king of Israel, and in the spring of the year when kings go to war, David stayed home in the palace. And one night he was out on his rooftop walking around, and he observed a beautiful woman taking a bath, and he lusted after her and had her brought to him and slept with her. You know the story from the Old Testament. But David was, as 1 Samuel tells us, a man after the Lord's own heart. Here's a man after the Lord's own heart, knows the Lord's statutes, the Lord's laws, committing such a hideous crime, breaking the Lord's laws, even more so when he had Bathsheba's husband put on the front line so that he would be killed. David was doubly guilty of breaking God's laws. Our text today is David's confession to the Lord. If you remember, the prophet Nathan came to David, and he came to him with a hypothetical story about someone who had committed a great sin. And when he was done, Nathan said, "That man is you, David." David's heart was broken because he knew it was true. He knew that he had sinned against the Lord, and he knew that that meant death or punishment. So he cried out to the Lord in Psalm 51. He was dealing with a deep, deep stain, adultery and murder. The sin had stained the heart. It stains the heart when we sin. When we break God's laws, it puts a mark on us. A stain is caused by foreign material that's made its way deep into the fabric of the item, as sin does. Makes its way deep into the fabric of our hearts. David in Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me." In Titus, Paul writes that he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy he saved us. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us. So you see, this concept biblically of sin is that it stains us inside. It stains our hearts. Jesus spoke in terms of how this sin affects our lives. The stain on our hearts is what comes out of us in the way we live our lives. When he said, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He was telling them that your hearts are evil because listen to the way that you speak. You can tell a person whose heart is stained. The New American Standard Bible puts it this way, that Jesus said, "The mouth speaks of that which fills the heart." And not only does the mouth speak of that, but a life is lived out according to what's inside a person's heart. So David knows the only chance he has is to turn to the Lord. Remember, David was a man after the Lord's heart. And I want you to listen to the words wash and cleanse, cleanse and wash, blot out, create and renew. Because this is the process that takes place when we come to the Lord in confession and cry out to the Lord. And I want to say that it is a great privilege that we can come to our God like this and cry out to Him. He doesn't have to listen, but the Bible shows us that He does. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions." Blot out my transgressions. You ever get a stain in the carpet and you try and blot it out to absorb it and get it up? He's actually asking God to absorb that from his heart and then remove it. Blot out his transgressions. "Wash away all my iniquity." This was his perversion. "And cleanse me from my sin." That word sin in the ancient Hebrew language meant missing God's mark. David had missed God's mark. When we sin, we miss God's mark. God has put a mark out there for us. And when we sin, we miss the mark. "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Cleanse me. Because I've missed your mark, O God. For I know, and this is the hard part for a lot of people, verbally naming the sin to God. "Dear Lord, forgive me, for I have," and verbally naming it. Not just sin, but verbally naming our sins is tough. But he says, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned," in terms that he had broken God's moral laws, "and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." In other words, he was saying to God, "I know what I've done, and I have sinned against you. I've broken your moral laws. You're right, God, and I'm wrong. You're right when you judge." He says, "Surely I was sinful at birth." Speaking of the fact theologically that we are born in sin, anyone who is a descendant of Adam. Is there anybody here that is not a descendant of Adam and Eve? We all are, right? Which means that sin nature is passed down through the seed. All through the years, and every human being has that. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. But surely you desire truth in the inner parts, and you teach me wisdom in the inmost place." So, he says to God, "Cleanse me." Again, in the Hebrew text of this, what he's saying is to God is, "Purge my sin from me. De-sin me. I have sin in me. De-sin me. And I'll be clean." Now, hyssop was a plant that was used to put the blood above the doorposts, you know, at the Passover time. But hyssop was also used as a laxative. I want you to think what David's saying there. "Cleanse me with hyssop. Clean me out, Lord. And I'll be clean. Wash me from this stain of sin, and I'll be whiter than snow." Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you've crushed rejoice. David was lamenting so much over his sin that he literally felt crushed. He was in tears. He knew he had sinned against the God that he loved. But he knew the God he loved him and would forgive him if he cried out to him. And here was the key. David was going to God, acknowledging that God was right, David was wrong, David was sinful, and God wasn't. David couldn't do anything about his own sin, but God could. It wasn't just a superficial outside solution, something that was easy to do. He had to go to God, naming his sin, and saying, God, I deserve death. But cleanse me, wash me, bring the joy back to me, bring the gladness back to my very bones, hide your face from my sins, and again blot out my iniquity. Blot out my iniquity. So once that stain is removed and it's blotted out, something needs to be done, which God does. He creates a new being. Create in me, David says, a pure heart, O God. A pure heart is an undefiled heart. Okay? So he knows that only God can do this. So he asks God to create a pure heart and renew or rebuild a steadfast spirit within me. Make my heart new, Lord. Once you get all that sin and that stain out, make me a new person. Make my heart new. And give me that steadfast spirit, that strong spirit that's willing to stand firm the next time I'm faced with temptation. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore me to the joy of your salvation. You see, we lose this joy when we sin. It's taken from us, and we lose it because now our hearts are hardened and they're stained. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Turn back to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. So you see, this is a process David knew only God could perform. To wash away, to cleanse, to blot out, to create and renew. A wonderful process that only the Lord God could do. And David knew that. And we should too. Because when we sin, we need a divine all in all. We cannot get rid of that sin on our own. No matter how many books you buy, no matter how many counselors you see, no matter how many people you watch on television, no matter how many works you do, you cannot get rid of that sin on your own. It does not work that way. It's not like the little black dress that makes a woman look slimmer than she really is. It's not like putting makeup on the face to hide the blemishes. It's more than a haircut and a shoe shine. It's more than a fresh coat of paint or new tires. Something needs to be done inside for the person to be renewed, refreshed, and to have joy once again. In Isaiah, the Lord says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool." It's a process of deep cleansing, but first we have to get on our knees and ask God to do it. The dentist doesn't come to your house and say, "Your teeth need cleaned. I think I'll do that today." The doctor doesn't come and say, "Oh, you look sick today. I'll give you the medicine you need." We have to call them. We have to ask for it. And God will never pound His way or force His way into your life. But you can bet your bottom dollar that when you cry out to Him, He will be there like Johnny on the spot. To cleanse, to renew, to blot out. He goes on to say in verses 16 and 17, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." This was religion. He knew that religion wasn't going to make him a better person and blot out that sin, because religion doesn't. Religion doesn't. There's no work, there's no religion that will remove your sin. Only asking the Lord to come in and do it. Only a broken heart, a broken spirit, God will not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. David's heart was broken because he knew he broke his master's heart. I'd have loved to have heard David with this prayer. It wasn't just a monotone thing. He was crying out to the Lord because he knew his life depended on it. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. We need a divine stain lifter. We need a divine all in all. When I thought about the words to the song, "You're my strength when I'm weak, you're my treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. I'm seeking you like a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my cross, my sin, my shame, raising again, I praise your name. You're my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I run dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name." It's a great psalm of comfort. I encourage you in your Bibles to bookmark it, highlight it, draw in it, draw lines in it from words to words, from cleanse to blot out, to create, to restore. These are the things that God is doing to those who call out to Him. Cleansing, blotting out, creating newness, restoration. I don't know about you folks, but that's what I need. That's what I need in my life, because I haven't found anything yet that's going to do that like the Lord Jesus. And neither did David. Cry out to the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. And we can know for sure there's only one person who can and will do that. There's only one who is our all in all, who's the ultimate divine stain lifter, who doesn't just offer 82 loads. He offers that for all eternity. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you that you have given us hope, that you're not just some God of wood or stone. You're not some unseen God. Lord, we have cried out to you in the past and you've heard us. We've seen the miracles that you've done, and to make it evident that you're very real.